జయం విష్ణుపాద బ్రహ్మహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభిచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద బ్రహ్మహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనందగుడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవింద శ్యామ గుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురవిధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురిధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురిధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హిమనమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణు పదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ మోదలి శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి దుర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వా మనసందనామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఉల్లారవిందాయుధపథనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక బాణై జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుర్గా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం కంసచ్చ నూరమర్దనం దేవయై పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శిలిగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణోహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాసజవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జనషల్పదైరహరహప్యమీయమానం ముద భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘై దేగిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతియం సమగాహం జానామస్తి తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద కార్యమిత్యేవ యత్ కర్మం నియతాం క్రియతే అర్జున సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలం చైవ సత్యాగ సాత్వికో మధ. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దేర్ దట్ సంగం త్యక్త్వా ఫలం చైవ, ఇసన్ట్ ఇట్, సంగం హాస్ గాన్, అటాచ్మెంట్ హాస్ గాన్ అండ్ నో ఎక్స్పెక్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ రిజల్ట్స్ ఈదర్. సో సత్య త్యాగం, కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ సత్యాగం సాత్వికో మధ, దట్ ఈస్ సాత్విక త్యాగం. సో ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ హిమ్ సత్వగుణం ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్, దట్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ ఇన్ హిమ్ సత్వగుణం ఈస్ ప్రెసెంట్. వాట్ దట్ మీన్స్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఎవర్ కర్మం హీ డస్ యూ కెన్ ట్రస్ట్ హిమ్, యూ కెన్ ట్రస్ట్ హిమ్, రైట్? హీ విల్ ఆనర్ హిస్ వర్డ్. He won't say, I don't have a mood to do today anything and not do it. He won't do such a thing. right? Because he is sattvikam, he will do the karma. He will do the karma, right? In other words, you can trust him. If he has given a promise, he will do something, he will do it, right? Krishna is continuing there. Karyam kartavyam iti eva yat karma niyatam nityam kriyate anirvartyate he Arjuna sangam tetva bhalam eva cha. Suppose, knowing very well the sattvikam, one in sattvikam, knowing very well his nitya karma, what he has to do, that is his, as a duty, he does that. Irrespective of what happens, he does that regularly. At the same time, he has no attachment there, or he is not expecting any results from there. That's where it has become, it has like breathing, they say. Irrespective of what happens, breathing he has to carry on. Nitya karmam has become like breathing for him. If you do karmam like that, Krishna is saying, your chittam will get purified. Chitta shuddhi will come from that, right? If chitta shuddhi happens, then knowledge of the self will automatically come from inside, from our consciousness, that an awareness of Antaryami, awareness of the soul, will spring up from inside, right? And that is when you start slowly recognizing that you are not the body, and you are not the mind or intelligence or ego. None of them. You have nothing to do with that. That separation keeps coming up from inside, right? Instead, your pure consciousness, that awareness will come, which means that you are like the space, pure, inside, agasham, like that, right? And that means you are Chaitanyam, pure Chaitanyam, consciousness, and you don't have any connection with any of these things, gross body or the mind or intelligence or anything. Just like, you can see it like this, they give this example that in the space, just when you have so many things, so sometimes there is light in the space, sometimes there is clouds in the space, or dust in the space, and similarly, sun, moon, they are all coming in the space, but they don't touch the space, they don't do anything to the space, they disappear, come and disappear. Untouched by anything, the space remains like that. Similarly, we will start seeing within ourselves that all these subtle body, like mind, intelligence, ego, and also our thoughts, emotions, they are all coming in this space and disappearing constantly. Equally, right, you also see that your original, the actual identity is that none of these, you know, it's not the body. Similarly, its activities, karma. Similarly, the mind and the chittavritti, that is in the mind, right? Similarly, sleep, memory, forgetfulness, all these things have nothing to do with the soul. All these things have nothing to do with the soul. They are all happening in the presence of the soul, and soul is considered to be like the space where all these things appears and disappears all the time, right? And just like in the space, so many things come and goes away. Sun, moon, clouds, dust, rain, light, everything comes and goes in the space. Space is steady, staying like that. In the same way, soul remains the same, and in that soul, which is Chidakasham, in there, all these things are coming and disappearing. Mind, intelligence, ahankaram, chittavritti, emotions, and all kinds of sleep, forgetfulness, memory, all these things, right? And the original nature of that soul is Shanti, Anandam, Shanti and Anandam, right? And that is not something we have to get it. If we realize the soul, all these things comes automatically. Anandam and Shanti comes along with that, right? In other words, it is not a state. State means it comes and goes, right? Here it is your actual identity This is our actual identity, right? Our what they call in Shastram is Astitvam, your Astitvam, right? In other words, our real nature is Bodham, awareness. And that is that space, what they call it as, Bodham, right? And this awareness or Bodham is self-realization. Yeah. And once that awareness comes in us, right, then what he is saying here, that Vishuddham Prasannam, Ajari Swami talks about that in detail. Vishuddham Prasannam Alma Lojana Kshamam Bhavati. That's what happens. These things only one who is experiencing it can say it properly. Otherwise it's very difficult. You can only read from the commentary what he has spoken there, right? What he is saying here is that, he says, Alma Lojana Kshamam Bhavati, he is saying, which means that Chittashuddhi has come to him, and due to that he is in a prasannam, in a joyful mood, always, in a jolly mood. Jolly mood, not like the way we say jolly. In other words, there is a bliss experience from within, right? Strictly speaking, what that means is, you will have the strength for Alma Vijayam, for self-realization. It requires some strength inside. That means you will have developed a nature by then for self-inquiry, or inquiring about the self. That's called Alma Vijayam, self-inquiry, right? And within ourselves, within oneself, right, he knows very well that it's pure consciousness. Not the body, not the subtle body, gross body, or intelligence, or anything like that, right? And the yogi will be able to experience this presence of the soul inside. That there is something which he has not experienced before. That's what he's saying here. Vishuddham Prasannam Alma Alojana Kshamam Bhavati. This Alma Alojana. Alma Alojana means that you develop that inquiry nature inside. After that, you won't be able to hold him back. You will go after that with the soul, right? Once you have known that there is inside, you will leave this body and then you will run after that. That's what he's saying. Tasya eva nitya karmanushtanena vishuddha andhakaranasya almajnana abhimukhasya kramena tan nishta syad tad vaktavyam iti aha. So, once the this unprecedented thing happening inside, he has no further questions about anything. He doesn't ask any more questions, right? Because when the knowledge becomes satvigam, when it comes to satvigam, right, you won't go out for anything. You will stay within yourself. This is the nature of sattvagunam. Sattvagunam creates in a person only one-pointed mind to inquire about the self. Not interested in the world outside, not interested in the body, not interested in anything else except the self, right? And that will be his all the time thinking will be like that, thinking about himself, who am I, this question, right? And that is what is causes Alpa Alojana Kshamam. That's the word, Alpa Alojana. You know, Alojana means thinking about something. And it can only think about Atma then. It cannot think about anything else. It comes to that state, right? And he keeps asking, who am I? What is my actual identity in that way, right? And with that, as long as you are staying in that state, you are in Satyagam mode. But if you leave that and comes to the world outside or inquiring about so many other things, it has become Rajasam. From Satyagam, you can fall back into Rajasam. Right? And if it remains within you, then it is Satvigam. Right? If it remains within you, All the time in that state, it is Satyam. Your knowledge is Satyam. The moment it jumps outside, going into other things, and inquiring about various transactions in this world, rest of the world, it is Rajasam. It's falling into Rajasam. So, and Krishna has spoken this, defined this, in the 14th chapter, very clearly. If you look into the 14th chapter, 17th verse, if you look there, 14:17, while discussing the three modes of nature, Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam, Rajaso Lobha Evacha, Pramada Mohau Tapasau, Bhavado Ajnanam Evacha. In one verse, he has put the whole thing. Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam, from Satvagunam, the benefit of Satvagunam is knowledge will come. Proper knowledge will come. Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam. Satwal Labdhalmaga Sanjayade Samulpadyade Jnanam, Rajaso Lobha Evaja, Pramada Mohauja Ubhav Tamaso Bhavada Ajnanam Evaja. From in Satvagunam, it establishes in knowledge. Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam, Krishna is saying. Satwal Sanjayade Jnanam. Jnanam means knowledge of the self, right? Knowledge of the self. Rajaso Lobha Evacha, Pramadam Mohau Tapasa, Tamasa. Then it goes out because of Rajogunam. If Rajogunam comes in, Chittavritti will come. When Chittavritti comes, it will go out. The inquiry within, till then you will be only concerned about the self. Once Rajogunam comes in, Chittavritti will come. Chittavritti comes, it will go out. This is how that process is. That's what he's saying here. Rajaso Lobha Evacha. Then his own astitvam, existence, he knows very well that self inside, Andaryami, or self, what he has realized, who is present inside, that is the one that is present in the whole creation. That is the foundation of the whole creation, existence itself, right? And that is what they are saying, Tatvamasi. And that is the truth, and it is the Atma, right? And Krishna also said this in the Bhagavatam. Sattvika Dhyatmiki Shraddha, Karma Shraddha Tu Rajasi. The same verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has brought it into Ekadasham, to Uddhava also. So, from both these statements, you can understand what Krishna is saying, that when Sattvagunam is strong in a person, he won't have any interest in the world outside, in anything, including his own body, mind, intelligence. Totally, he'll be concerned about the self. To understand the self and to realize him. That way the thinking will go. Sattvika Dhyatmiki Shraddha. He has no other Shraddha in the Laugiyam. So everybody who has in this world very busy is either these two things, Rajogunam or Tamogunam. That's all that's keeping them. If Sattvagunam comes in a person, he cannot do any of these things. His interest will only be in the soul. Sattvika Dhyatmiki Shraddha, Karma Shraddha Tu Rajasi. He says that in the Ekadasha, right? If you have come to this Sattvagunam, and what Krishna mentioned here, that in that 18th chapter, Atma Jnana Abhimukhyam. Atma Jnana Abhimukhasya Kramena Tannishta स्यात् तद्वक्तव्यम्। सो दिस नित्यम नित्यकर्मा डूइंग वन्स नित्यकर्मा, यू नो व्हाट दैट मीन्स, नित्यकर्मा इट प्यूरिफाइज अ पर्सन राइट एंड इट स्ट्रेंथन्स हिज करेज टू फेस द सोल। व्हेन वी हैव टू डील विद द सोल इट इज नॉट लाइक डीलिंग विद द बॉडी इज इट, इट्स कृष्णा इज इनसाइड अंतर्यामी, सो यू नीड सम स्ट्रेंथ इनसाइड हाउ टू डील विद द सोल राइट एंड ही अक्वायर्स दैट स्ट्रेंथ एट दैट टाइम थ्रू सत्वगुणम। व्हेन ही इज इन सत्वगुणम ही हैज द स्ट्रेंथ टू डील विद द सोल, he has the strength to deal with the soul, that's what he is saying here, and then he is more or less, you don't have to convince him then about the existence of the soul like we do to tell everyone that there is a soul inside and dehinosmin yata dehe and all, you don't have to say that to him right. So and because he experienced that shanti inside because of that realization of the soul and liberation becomes his swarupam. He is feeling that freedom from the body. He is feeling it, the freedom from the body and the freedom from the mind. Two subtle things they are. We can only talk about it. Till we experience that, we won't know what that means, right? And that shanti, he continuously experiences it inside, untouched by anything what happens in this creation, right? So this is the message from the Gita. That Gita's message is that this shanti is what Krishna is talking about all the time. Because if this shanti is not there, whatever you have achieved in life is all at the end not given any importance. From Krishna's point of view, the shanti is more important than anything else, right? Krishna has said this in the second chapter also. If you look in the second chapter, Krishna is saying there that the nasti buddhi, 66th verse, 66, nasti buddhir ayuktasya na jayuktasya bhavana na jabhava yada shanti ashandasya kuta sukha. So Krishna has validated that there itself in the second chapter. Nasya buddhi ayuktasya na jayuktasya bhavana na jabhava yada shanti ashandasya kuta sukha. So that shanti comes with this sattugunam and through that you get to that shanti, right? If there is no shanti inside, whatever you have achieved in life, Krishna says it's all not worth, just not worth, right? The shanti is another way of saying liberation or knowledge, self-realization or knowledge. And Upanishads also will say the same thing, shandoyam atma, right? So, and that is what this three modes of nature, what Krishna has spoken there, is talking about that, right? So we have seen these three, tamogunam, rajogunam and sattugunam, how that affects the tyagam, sacrifices, right? Yeah. So, so Krishna spoke about Nitya Karma, importance of Nitya Karma, right? This Nityam Karma is will vary based depending on the time. We have Kritam Treta Dwabaram Kali, the four yugam, right? And similarly, we have the four ashramam also, Brahmachari, Grastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam. and then we have Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So this will vary based on all these things. The time, based on the time. Kratam Treta Dwaparam Kali, then Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, they all have different Nitya Karmam in at different times. They will, depending on the time, they'll keep changing. Right? Markandeya Puranam talks about it. These three things, Nityam, Naimityam, all these karma, right? So, Smriti also talks about that. What this Nitya Karma, Naimitya Karma, all these things, right? So the topic here is Moksha Sannyasam. That is this chapter, right? What Acharya Krishna is referring to is Karma Sannyasam, basically, right? And Karma Sannyasam is one name. Moksha Karma Sannyasam is another name, right? And Karma Sannyasam, Krishna said, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam. He said that before. So ultimately, the topic is about karma, basically, right? Karma, what karma one should do, and what karma one should give up. Sometimes, certain things mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Because it is Vaidigam, based on the Vedam, people of this age won't understand it. Because most of the people are not aware what is in the Vedam. Most of the people are not aware what is in the Vedam, right? They heard this word Vedam, Vedic literature, and things like that. But what is this Vedam that they are not aware of, right? But when we talk about karma, in general, when we talk about that, right, it is for all time, for all people. Because karma is a vasana inside us. And anyone has got a body, has taken a body, he will have karma in him. Karma will be there inside him, as in the form of vasana, right? So, what I'm saying is, when we refer to Vedam and karma, people won't understand that. What is Vaidika karma? They'll find it difficult. Because you are never teaching anybody to anything to anyone these days, isn't it? You're teaching all nonsense to them, but you won't teach them about the Vedam. So, more, at least the minimum understanding of the authority of the Vedam and what is spoken in the Vedam one should have. Minimum understanding. Even though you may not have studied Vedam, but what does Vedam talks about? What is the authority of the Vedam? That one must be conscious of. So, because it is not there anymore, a lot of people, you can see this, they just don't understand what this all about Vedam, Vedam you are talking about. They just don't understand it. Because they never had that exposure to the knowledge of the Vedam. Yeah? So, if you sell ordinary people, Nitya Karma, you know what they will think? They will think that eating three times a day at the proper time, or sleeping on time, bathing on time, things like that. That's what they say Nitya Karma. If you tell ordinary people what's your Nitya Karma, they will take it like that. Nitya Karma means I have to get up in the morning, I have to brush my teeth, go to toilet, bathe myself, I should have my breakfast, whatever time it is, and then at the proper time I should have my lunch, and proper time my dinner, and I should have my proper sleep in the night. So I done my Nitya Karma. This is how most of the people understand today, Nitya Karma means. But because there is no exposure to Vedam, no knowledge of the Vedam, they won't understand when we talk about Nitya Karma from the Vedam.
So when Acharya Swamiji says so many things about Nityakarma, it won't make any sense to these people. Because so ordinary people have no connection with the Shastram anymore. They have broken away from that, right? So yesterday we saw about Rajogunam, Satogunam, Tamogunam. Krishna talks about Tyagam, isn't it? About sacrificing, right? And Tyagam is the secret. The secret is sacrificing things like that, right? Generally they call it Tyagam as the spiritual secret. The secret of spiritual life, right? So it is through that one experiences spiritual life. In Shastram the word used is Adhyatma Anubhuti. Anubhuti is the word. Anubhuti means that you are experiencing it, little bit of that. That's called Adhyatma Anubhuti. Spiritual experience, in other words. Right? So, what they are asking is, how will we have Adhyatma Anubhuti? The first thing to understand, by doing something, you are not going to get it. That's the first thing. Not by doing things. That's how we are used to, you see. In general life, in our karmi life, this is the principle, isn't it? You do something, you get the result. You do something, you get the result. So that has gone deep inside us. Very deep inside. And with that mindset, we are coming to spiritual life. And we are applying the same principle into spiritual life also. Thinking that I'll do this thing and I'll get this thing from that. I will chant my rounds, Krishna will come in front of me. This kind of approach. Or, I'll do this for Krishna and Krishna will do that for me. Yeah, that Vaishya nature comes in us. I do something, I should get it back. In that way, right? So, important thing to understand is this. First thing, that's what Krishna is explaining here. By doing anything, you won't become spiritual. By doing anything, you won't become spiritual, right? You can do yoga, or dhyana, meditation, or japam, whatever it may be, right? But the secret of spiritual life is tyagam. When you become free from everything else, that is tyagam. That means sangam gone, connection gone, and results also not expected from anything. That's what he said there. Sangam tektua bhalam chaiva. That is the secret of spiritual life. Not by doing and getting it. When you give up everything, means that when everything leaves you, one after the other, that is spiritual realization. Krishna mentions this, tyaga shantiranandaram, as he mentioned in another verse there, right? So, it is not by doing and getting that you get spiritual experience. It is by leaving everything. Not by doing and getting, but by leaving everything that you become spiritual. Right? So, normally when we are doing something, we are obsessed with it. Right? Because we do something, I should get something back. What's the point in doing otherwise? Right? And because we are like that, right, these people, they cheat us. They develop this technology in spiritual life. They bring technology into it, right? And they will say, we have developed a new technology, like they do in the material life, because we are used to that transaction business. So they know they'll come out some new technique all the time, and you have to try it out and see. They will give you some explanation to that, how it works and how many days it takes and how much it costs. You pay and then you try and then you see what you get, results from that. So actually what they are doing is they are exploiting our weakness that we have learned from our karmi life. Karmi life means that this kind of transaction business. They are utilizing that in spirit, bringing it into spiritual life. Yeah. In spiritual life, it doesn't work like that. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. Right? So that's why in the Upanishad there is that famous verse, Pariksha Logan Karma Chidan, Brahmano Nurveda Mayal Agrata Kradena. Upanishad is saying, a lot of karma you have done in this world. Lot of karma, right? And you did the karma and you got the result, right? And you finally realize that the limitation of karma, that karma cannot help you. In this case, in spiritual life, karma cannot help you. You have come to that. Then he says, Tad vijnanatam sadguru meva abhigachet shamit pani shotriyam brahmanishtam. Upanishad verses, if they are, right? So, only when you have realized the limitation of karma, how far karma can take you, after knowing that limitation, that's when you become qualified for knowing, for developing spiritual knowledge, for spiritual understanding, right? Till then, you are not ready for it. As long as you have this mind, you are not ready for that spiritual knowledge, jnana-margam, right? So, when you realize the limitation of karma, that means you have to realize that, the limitation of karma. Karma won't get me this knowledge of the soul, right? Realization, right? And only the knowledge will work, spiritual knowledge will work, right? Till then, you're working, earning, working, earning, right? Doing and getting back, doing and getting back in that way. And that's all what we know. We don't know anything else, right? And that is true also in a relative plane. That is true in a relative plane, right? So that means people feel like this, that I have to become something, yeah? And I have to do something, and I have to earn it. So, this plane where you are operating like that, of being knowledge, right? In that state, this karma has gone away, right? What will work then? What will work at that time is your awareness. Inside, the awareness inside, right? So, yesterday we discussed this, right? Take care of sadhana, for example, any sadhana, spiritual sadhana, right? Even if it is adhyatma sadhana, right? How to do that, and you should not give it up. Krishna says that. Is it not? Nitya karma. Adhyalpa sadhana, whatever you are doing, it may be different for different people. Some people do japam as a sadhana. Some people do dhyanam as a sadhana. Some people do, they have a regular deity worship at home. They do that. And some people may have reciting some stotram, like Vishnu Sahasranamam. Bhajagovindam, whatever that is, as a sadhana, they regularly do that, right? So Krishna's first advice is, don't give it up. Keep that going, always, right? In other words, you are doing a sadhana, either you have got that sadhana process from some higher authorities, either your ancestors, or through your guru, whoever it is, who have given you that sadhana process, right? Krishna called that as niyata, right? That means that has to be done every day, and by any reason you should not give it up, right? In this world now, there are all sorts of people. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they are all there, right? Sandhyavandanam is for Brahmanas. They do Sandhyavandanam. Morning, midday and in the evening. 3 times a day. This is the only thing they do. They don't do anything else. They are not supposed to do anything else. Sandhyavandanam in the morning, midday and in the evening, right? But this should not be stopped under any circumstances, right? But the thing is, we all have a gross body. Not only the Brahmanas have got a gross body, everybody has a gross body. Everybody has a subtle body also, right? So, the Sandhyavandanam generally is for, it used to be, whoever has performed Upanayanam. And normally it is for Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, the Trivarnam. They were the one who did Upanayanam. And if Shudra is ready for that, Shudra is also can be done Upanayanam, right? But generally he does not come in that society of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya. He is exempted from the Upanayanam ceremony, right? First of all, a good Shudra won't understand that, what this Upanayanam is all about, right? It is not jadi, it's not a caste thing. Anyone who does not understand the importance of Upanayanam and one who cannot accept it within himself, he is a Shudra in that way, right? In other words, his samskaram, what he has brought with him, all that he knows is to work hard. He wants to work hard, that is his nature. That is Shudra samskaram, right? He has only one interest, to work hard, and he has interest to understand this world, what goes on in this world, in the nature. Those things he is interested, not going inwards or inquiring about the self, right? So when he is like that, better not to disturb him, leave him to himself, because his nature doesn't allow him to take interest in the Upanayanam and samskaram and things like that. His samskaram is karma, work, 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 and he is inquiring about the world outside, right? All the other three, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishyam, they all have anushtanam, right? So what happened was, over a period of time, that got reduced and reduced. Kshatriyas also left, Vaishyas also left it. It has become only for the Brahmana. So that is how Sandhyavandanam has become only for the Brahmana in this way, right? And then what happened? In Brahmanas also, they lost it. They have also lost their habit, right? And that is what Krishna is saying as tamogunam. Gradually you leaving your nitya karmam and becoming out of it, losing everything, that's called a tamogunam. That's how Krishna explained that yesterday. So tamogunam means all your anushtanam has gone daily. That steadiness in life, that's gone, right? Finally what happened now? It is only limited to a few people who are doing it now. Majority of the people, they went to America, Europe, this place, that place, everything for livelihood, in the name of livelihood. And in that, all these things gone. Sandhyavandanam all gone from them. So, you can see how the changes have happened, right? So, this Sandhyavandanam is such an important thing in the Vedam spoken, right? It is a simple spiritual practice, right? Even while the parents are living or when the parents have left the world, right? Even suppose the father or mother died at home, and when the body is taken away from home, right? The rule is that he should have performed his Sandhyavandanam. That's how strict it was, right? Normally, you may have seen this in people. Some death happens. They'll say, in another 10 days, I don't have to do anything. You have seen that, haven't you? Yeah. People say, oh, I don't do any spiritual practices now. 10 days, 12 days, 15 days. Different people do different things, right? So, basically, what that means is, they're waiting, when can I get a leave? They're happy somebody died at home, so at least I have a break from my... That's not good. That's not the right thing, right? Because they have not understood that, right? They are looking for some excuse to give up the Nitya Karma, right? To give up the Nitya Karma, right? So you can see this nature in us. It is there in everyone, this nature, to give up Nitya Karma. Because every day you are doing it, and you are finding you are getting nowhere. And then you are still, now and then this thought will come, why am I doing this? So let me have a break, they say. So in the schools also we used to have the same situation, right? We want to take a day off from school. I don't know now what it is, but when we were at school, you have to send a leave letter why you couldn't come. It has to be sent to a friend or somebody, you have to get the message to the teacher. Otherwise, he will give you trouble next day when you go. Why have you not sent the leave letter? He will come asking that, right? So it was very difficult them days because you just don't like it going to the school and you just want to stay away from you're waiting for some reason. So now and then in them days somebody will die in the family. Somebody will die, some relations. He may not be staying with you, but he may be staying somewhere else. He died. So that's an excuse for that. So what they used to do, there was a standard format how to write a leave letter, right? It will start with, as I am suffering from fever and headache, or something like that. And then all you have to do is that you write that sentence, and generally it's all written in English. Because in our own languages, we don't have this leave letter business. So there is a dear sir, or dear madam, or whatever it is, the teacher, depending on the sir or madam. And then at the end, all you have to do is to sign this, fold it up and hand over to someone, and he'll hand over to the teacher. So the teacher gets a few letters like this every day, and he's reading through more or less the same thing everywhere. So, or sometimes sister's marriage or cousin's marriage or brother's marriage, whatever it may be, there will be so many events happening at home. For that you write this leave letter and send it off, right? So this Nitya Karmam or Niyada Karmam, you can't take leave from that in this way, like the way from the schools, right? Similarly, from taking prasadam, you don't take leave from that. You take it regularly on that time, right? So because it is like that, it is difficult to stop that. What they have done, that they say, because you won't give up eating otherwise. You will eat every day. You won't take leave from eating. So they put Ekadashi into it, so that you don't eat. That's the idea behind that. You brought Ekadashi into it, so that forcefully you are taking leave from eating. So Krishna is saying here, in that verse, seventh verse if you look, Niyadasya du sanyasam karmano nopapadyate mohal tasya parityagam sattamasa parigirtida, right? In other words, if a system is there like that, like they put Ekadashi there for so that you break, not eat on that day. Otherwise you won't stop eating, you will eat. So they brought Ekadashi in, right? Similarly, suppose I get attracted to something, or in my mind I feel something more else is more important, and I give up my daily duty, Nitya Karma, right? Krishna called that as Tamoguna Tyagam. Tyagam based on Tamogunam, right? And saying that because of this I can't do it, living like that, right? But if you see great personalities, how they conducted their life, right? when they become very weak in the body, when they become very helpless and they are bedridden, you can say, right? Still they will give them some water in the hand, akhyam, and then they will chant japam. They will still do the japam at any situation. Even if you have to lie down in the bed, still chant, right? And even they won't give it up easily. They won't give it up easily, right? You can see with the Muslims, 5 times a day, how particular they are about it, right? Whatever other things happening, that you don't worry about that. That's another side to it. But on this issue, you got to appreciate that commitment, what they have, right? So, that spiritual flowering, in order that to happen, every time when you do your Nitya Dharmam, you may or may not get that meditation, dhyanam inside. You may not get that spiritual experience inside every time, right? Because that does not come. It depends on the prakriti. Prakriti means these 3 gunam. Sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. You may do this nitya karmam days together in tamogunam. You may do that. Which means you may not get any experience or any spiritual feelings from that. But if it is in sattugunam, if it happens, on those days you will get it. Sometimes you can notice that when you chant the holy name, sometimes you feel something good happening inside, right? If you ask what that is, it's difficult to explain that. That the effect of the holy name on you, you know it yourself, that, yeah? But on some other days, you don't feel any connection with the holy name, right? So, so only when sattugunam is there, the experiences will come of the nitya karma or sadhana process, right? If there is no sattugunam, it will be disturbed inside, right? Or in other words, it will be rajogunam. Rajogunam means thoughts will go all kinds of direction. That is the nature of rajogunam. So, results comes based on the prakriti. Nityakarmam you are doing every day. But when the results come, it depends on the prakriti. In sattvagunam, you will feel the benefit of the nityakarmam. In rajogunam, you will feel the disturbances in the mind. In tamogunam, you will feel dull. You will feel very dull. No thoughts, depressed state, frustrated conditions, right? So, Krishna is saying, whether it is sattvyam, rajasam or tamasam, whatever it may be, you should do this karma. Don't think about the results that comes from the karma, from the nitya karma, right? This is the thing that has to happen through the body and the mind. Accept it that way. And like a ritual you do it. Like a ritual you do it, right? And whenever in that ritual, if you are in a sattvic mood, sattva prasadam, sattvyam comes, sattvagunam comes, you will experience also the result from that to some extent, right? So, this is all spoken. Gaudapada Acharya mentions this, about this sadhana process, how it works in the 3 modes, in sattvagunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. It is good to know these things because when you are doing sadhana, it is very easy to give it up and move away from this. A lot of people have done that. They have given up all this chanting the holy name and other reading Bhagavatam and all. They have given up after some time. The reason for that is that they didn't understand that what is Nitya Karma. Whatever you have accepted to do as a sadhana on a daily basis, that must be done under any circumstances, right? So, when you are in sattvagunam, when the results are coming, that means you are getting some feedback from your sadhana, right? You should not get attached to it. That's what Gaudapada Acharya says. You shouldn't get attached to it, right? Because if you get attached to it, and if tomorrow, if it didn't come, you will become depressed. That's the way to do that. Doing the sadhana has to be done in that way, right? So, therefore, what has to be done every day must be done under any circumstances, right? So, Rajasatyagam also should not be done, which we discussed yesterday. Kaya klesha bhaya tyajed. That due to, okay, if you are completely sick, you can't do it. Then you can't do it. Nothing can be done about it. But as long as, because fearing that body will get inconvenienced, or body will suffer from that, if I do this, that I'll make my body comfortable. On that pretext, you should not give up the sadhana. You should not give up the sadhana. These are all the finer side of, finer aspects of doing sadhana. How to do the sadhana, right? That because you're feeling that it's a little bit inconvenient for the body, it doesn't matter, but it is not going to kill you at the end. You can still live in this world, right? If it is possible to do it, you should do it. But if it comes to a stage that you are completely helpless, you have become so sick that you can't do it, then you can't do it. There's nothing you can do about it. But as long as the body is functional, in other words, one must do it under all circumstances, right? So, that's what he's saying here. So, that is what he's saying here, that the he mentioned that karyamityeva yat karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tyaktva bhalam jaiva satyagam satvika mata. It has to be done. Krishna is insisting that, right? You should never think also that I have to do it perfectly. This is another misunderstanding within us, right? You do what best you can, right? Some people are very perfectionists in their life. Have you noticed that? It's a good thing, but you have to know where to apply it. This perfectionism. You must have seen people like that. Perfectionists, right? If they do something, it must be perfect. Otherwise, they are intolerant. They can't accept that, right? For example, some people, they're very particular. The house is, what do they call it? Clean, maximum. It should be always, if anybody does anything in their house, move one thing from one place to another, they get up. They'll get up and start moving it back again. People are there like that. You will see in some people that nature in them. It's a nature that acquired. Yeah, perfectionist they're called. Everything should be perfect, right? And it's like a disease for them. It's like a disease, right? House should be very clean, and they're very particular about that, right? And if there is any, if you throw some paper or something in the house somewhere, and they notice that you're done in the wrong place, yeah, they will make a big noise about that. They'll create a big scene out of it, right? This you have seen these people, right? I've seen a lot of them like that. When we were living in Warrington, there was a family who lived outside, like right opposite our house. It was like a council estate. And in that, there were big houses, old council estates, right? Built in early 60s or something like that. So, I was observing that with one home. This one man, I used to find him very, very, very organized in everything. And you could see, it was frightening to go closer to him because of his perfection life. And then something, he had wife and few children, and then something happened, they separated, right? Wife and children went away. So this person, I observe that throughout the day he is busy in keeping the house in order and tidy everything. All the time working in the house, doing one thing or the other. He wants that house everything should be in order and everything should be perfect. So you can see that man's thinking was like that. He was like that, right? So they don't have peace within themselves, and they won't allow anybody else to have peace, because of this perfection business. They get so absorbed in this perfection, they themselves won't be peaceful, and they won't allow others to be peaceful in this world, right? So, perfectionism, it's a disease actually. Perfectionism is a disease, if you think about it. Similarly, some people, this is more in the West. I have seen, I can tell you this why it's so. That we are used to living a lifestyle that we have now with toilets in the house and things like that, right? So many bedrooms, attached toilets, this, that and the other, right? So, if the toilets are not clean, they get very upset about it. They will not think that the same thing you are throwing out, you are carrying with you inside. They can't think that. They are not able to realize. But the toilet should be 100% clean. If not, they get very upset about it. So, that's another problem. Most, a lot of people have that problem, right? As you get older, you'll start realizing that this body itself is useless. It's like that thing what you're throwing out. It's the same thing this body is. And this is on you all the time. And you are trying to make it clean and wipe it and rub it and scratch it in whichever way possible. And to give the impression that it's all clean. You're convincing yourself it is clean. But you know the materials out of which it is made is all filthy. They are all filth that was put together within a bag called the skin. And that's this body. And all these things, what impurities, what you're throwing away, is all inside you. If you ask the doctor, they'll tell you that in your own, what do they call, in the stomach, lot of that is still there. It's not completely wiped out. All the time you're carrying this with you. But somehow or the other, this perfection business affects them. And they take it very seriously, right? And if you look at the nature, you can see this, right? You go to a forest, for example, all kinds of plants and trees all together. Some good ones, some bad ones, depending on. And from there only, all the medicines are coming. In the middle of all that. It's all together, isn't it? Big trees, useless trees, some of them. Some of them very valuable ones, useful for the medicines, right? And the valuable ones, we take it from there and bring it over and you use it for the medicines, right? Instead of that, suppose you make all the forest like a garden, perfect garden, there won't be any medicines there then. Do you see the difference? If you see, the nature's arrangement, you can't change it. The nature's arrangement is that you go into your forest, you find all kinds of trees and plants and herbs and everything there. Some of them flowers, some of them no flowers, some of them are fruits, some of them are no fruits. Some of them have a lot of medicinal values. And some of these Ayurvedic medicines, the plants if you see, you would have never thought that it has such a value, some of them. And those Ayurvedic herbs, what they bring from the forest, and when they start using them for the medicines, the amount of the plants they bring to make these Ayurvedic medicines were growing in deep forests in the middle of so many other things. So by nature's arrangement, it is like that. It is not that one is perfect, one is imperfect. It is this perfectionism in us is making us to think the garden has to be like this. This is for our eyes, to suit our eyes, we are doing it that way. You trim the gardens and keep it everything in order. And then you say, oh, he's maintaining his garden well. Others get upset if you don't do it. Right? So, the thing is then, if you make that forest a garden like the way we do, you won't get any medicine from that. Medicines won't come there. Right? So, this is an idea in your head. It is not nature's arrangement. Nature's arrangement is different. Right? So, with that approach, nothing you will succeed in spiritual life with this kind of frame of mind. Your spiritual life won't work, right? Krishna has also got a perfection state, perfectionism, right? And perfect nature he also has in his own way, right? What we are doing is artificial perfection, human perfection. What we create is an artificial perfection, right? And Krishna's perfection you have to find out. We have to understand that. These are subtle things. Nobody will explain to you with your own mind. You have to analyze it, the world, how we are acting and how nature is acting. And compare that, and from that you have to understand that, right? We have to find out that. In other words, not to get attached to these things more than realizing that this is a nature's arrangement in this world. Actually, nature is working, controlling everything, right? So this understanding that this karma is perfect, this karma is not perfect, this kind of understanding. It is because of that, in the olden days, what they will say is that, the elders, they will say like that, what Vedam is saying, that is perfect. They won't say that what my mind is saying perfect, is perfect. What Vedam is saying is perfect, right? So, and what Vedam says is not perfect, Vedam has not spoken anything, that's not perfect. That's the way it is, right? Sometimes, Vedam says what we consider as impurity, Vedam will say it's pure. Like Prabhupada gave the example of the cow dung, right? Most of the people in the world means in the modern world, who has lived in a mechanized society, technological society, will find it very hard to touch the cow dung. Because in their mind they have developed that negativity towards that, right? So Vedam will sometimes say, what is, we say call it as impure, it will call it as pure, right? And and these different traditions now we have, parampara, it has all come like this only, right? Here we are discussing about karma, right? So that is why, if you think that you can make your karma perfect and then you can live in this world peacefully, you should never think like that. I will do my karma perfectly and I will become very peaceful in life. If you have that misunderstanding, you should give it up. It's a misunderstanding that from karma you will never be able to make it perfect, right? So, according to your capacity, your best ability, you do what you can, right? And similarly, in each one of us, the power to do a karma varies within us, right? In each one of us, there is a power, right? And according to that power only, you can do the karma. So if one karma, few people, if you give it to them, they will all do in different ways and to different perfections. They may do it, right? So that is all possible. You shouldn't expect everyone to perform at the top level. It's not possible, right? So, idea behind all these things is to develop humility inside. To understand our limitations. That this is how we are created and you can't change that. The way we are created, you can't change that, right? This is all I can do. This is my capacity, right? And to my capacity, I have done yathashakti. According to my capacity, I have done that, right? Yathashakti, I will do that. According to my power, I will do that. And you cannot say that I will do it perfectly, right? So, it is this principle holds very much in the spiritual practices. In spiritual practices, right? For example, adhyatma nishtanam, japam, dhyanam. Everything, do what your best you can. That's all it is, right? And then you say to Krishna, I have done to my capacity, my mind and body allows me, I have done to that capacity. To what extent? I have chanted the holy name and if it has to become perfect, you make it perfect. I have done within my body capacity and my power what I have got within me, I have done what I can. And it is up to you to make it perfect, right? So, same thing with the deity worship also. There are verses referring to this. Mantrahinam, Kriyahinam, Bhaktihinam, Maheshwara. There are so many verses about that, right? So, and then mantras are recited normally after the anushtanam. After you do your daily anushtanam, you recite this mantra to say that you have done everything according to your capacity. Now it is up to you to make it perfect, whatever way. And not to get depressed about that. Yeah. So, because in sadhana, you are reciting mantra. Suppose you have not recited it properly, mantrahinam. Similarly, in deity worship, there is kriya. Different things has to be done in a, based on the tantram, right? And that was not perfect, kriyahinam. Above than that, you require bhakti, proper state of mind, surrender to Krishna, and it should be done with love and devotion, right? But you are thinking about something else while doing all this arati, doing the arati. So, bhaktihinam. Mantrahinam, kriyahinam, bhaktihinam. So, all these defects are there in our sadhana, right? And so, all you can do is to ask Krishna to make it perfect, whatever way it is missing, right? Because to make it perfect, it is Krishna has to do that, right? For us, there is a limitation. That's the reason. We all have a limitation for that. And we can only act within that limitation of a person, within the limitation of a person. So if you keep this idea, perfect, 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 in your intelligence all the time, you will never be peaceful in life. You will never be peaceful in life, right? And not only that, you may disturb others as well. You may disturb others as well, right? So these perfectionists, they constantly give trouble to others. These people who are perfectionists, right? But you do what best you can within your capacity and leave everything to Krishna, right? So that is the principle Krishna is saying in the next verse. You look at the next verse. This whole thing what we are talking about, perfection business, to get out of that. Nadveshtya kushalam karma kushalena anushajjade tyagi sattva samaveshte medhavi chinna samshayaha. Nadveshtya kushalam karma kushalena anushajjade tyagi sattva samaveshte medhavi chinna samshayaha. When there is satogunam in a person, and one who is a thoughtful person, vicharashilam, right? And one who has no doubts about it, such a person, a tyagi, he won't condemn any karma, right? And he does not think about, he will engage in the karma with that mind. You will see there, nadveshti akushalam ashobhanam kamyam karma shariralambadvarena samsara karanam kim anena iti evam. He says, one who is in satyugunam, his attitude is that when he has to do certain wrong things in life, right? At that time, he knows that from that he is creating vasana inside, and that may become a cause for another body, punarjanma, another life, right? Apart from that, nothing else is going to happen. This is the attitude. Normally, one who is in satyugunam, his karma also will be a good karma, most of them, right? And that leads into purification of the heart and becomes a cause for knowledge and through that to liberation, right? But he will not have any attachment to any of that. But then who is Tyagi? Tyagi, Krishna is saying there that one who has got who has given up that sangam in the karma and who has given the asakti for the results, both he has given up, both of them, right? So, ashobhanam kamyam karma.
ప్రశోభనం కామ్య కర్మం సంసార కారణం. శరీర ఆరంభ ద్వారేణ సంసార కారణం. దట్ ఈస్ ది భాష్యం, కామెంటరీ ఆన్ దాట్. ఏ కర్మం దాట్ బికమ్స్ అ కాజ్ ఫర్ అనదర్ బాడీ. ఇఫ్ సంబడి ఎల్స్ ఈస్ డూయింగ్ దట్ కర్మం, దే డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీథింగ్ అగెయిన్స్ట్ దాట్, దే కెన్ డూ దాట్, రైట్? దాట్స్ దేర్ ప్రారంభం, లెట్ దమ్ డూ దాట్, అండ్ దేర్ ఈస్ నో హెయిట్ టువర్డ్స్ దమ్, రైట్? Sometimes we will say, they have good sadhana at home, but then they have to go to office to work, right? And when they go to office, they have to do certain karmam there in the office, which is not very sattviyam. It cannot be avoided. You are forced to do that. And you know that it's not a good karmam to do, right? Because of that, he does not give it up. He doesn't hate that, right? He will say that this is my prarabdham, that's why it has come in my life like this. I'm not doing that, but I've done that. As a prarabdham, I have done that. In that way, he will do that karma, right? Nadveshti akushalam karma. Nadveshti akushalam karma. Nadveshti akushalam karma, right? Nadveshti akushalam karma, right? Even if any is doing that, it is imperfect, right? He will say, this is all I can do with this, right? That's the way he will do that. He will do that karma, knowing his limitations, and saying that whatever it comes from that, I will accept that, but I will do that karma, right? So, if you take spiritual practices itself, you can see, Nadveshti akushalam karma. The first line. Nadveshti akushalam karma. Apply that to your own spiritual life. You will see that some days in life that your japam, dhyanam didn't happen the way it should have done. Right? So therefore Krishna said, Karyam ityeva yat karmam. It should not be avoided, right? He said that before. Because it has to be done, I have done it. Because it has to be done, right? And because Krishna says it should be done, I'll do my best, what I can, right? But I won't worry about it later. That's what he's saying here. Na dveshti akushalam karma. That karmam, I have to do it, because it is nitya karmam. Krishna says I should do it. I've done it to my ability, best ability. But I'm not going to worry about it later. I didn't do a good job. I didn't do my rounds properly. Sometimes you will see because that understanding is not there. That rigid mind causes this problem. The rigid mind. Especially those who are grown up in technological societies, they will have this problem. Their mind is very, in technology it is like that. Technology to work, it has to be done in a particular way. That kind of frame of mind, if you bring it to spiritual life, you will see this. I've seen one of the guru sannyasis, he gives his diary and he writes, sometimes he say, this day, today, my chanting was very good. And then sometimes he writes, today my chanting was very bad. That means it is hurting him inside. And he's making a comment on that. You can see that book is available still. Japa Reform Notebook. If you buy, Satsarup has written that. In that. He says these things. So when he writes that, he is not thinking this, what Krishna is saying. You are not supposed to keep on analyzing your sadhana on a daily basis. When you do that, the followers also will go and start doing the same thing. You are misleading others. You have not taught them properly the things. Krishna is saying, na dveshti akushalam karma, he says. You may not be expert in your karma. Doesn't matter, do the karma. To your capacity, what is possible. That means your faith in, more than faith in Krishna, you are believing, having your faith in yourself. That's where the problem is. This is that rigid mind that has come from the technological upbringing.
It's a defect in the mind. We have to clear it ourselves. We have to become flexible in that. You know, in Bhagavatam, our mind has to become like a child. Yeah? Not getting affected by anything. Vartaya tektamanam sukhamadishishuval nisahayaschareyam. Who says this? Dattatreya Maharshi. Ekadasa Skandam. You remember 24 spiritual masters. In that, one of the spiritual masters is a child. And he is observing, Dattatreya Maharshi is seeing this child and saying to us, Vartaya tektamanam. He is seeing the child. What did he see there? The child is playing with some toys. Whole day, very seriously, he is playing something or the other. And then suddenly his mother comes and calls him to come for prasadam. So immediately, he kicks the whole thing out and he runs away from that. He has no attachment to anything what he has done. Whole morning, yeah? And that is a shishu. Sukhamadi shishuval nisahayaschareyam. That shishu is like that. Children are like that. Children don't have the complications like what we have got up to a certain age. And then afterwards, once the senses start working, the mind start working, ahankaram builds up, then they become like us. Their beauty, when you see a little child, the beauty on that face is because there is no ahankaram working. That is why it's so beautiful. When they get to some 20, 18, 20 years old, you look at them, totally different. They become very serious, they become scheming, and they could have no problem in telling lies, and everything changed, and always very cagey and careful about whom they are talking to, all these things. This is because ahankaram has started operating within them. So becoming like a child is what spiritual life is, not becoming very, very complicated in that way. So Krishna is saying here, whole lifetime you have practiced this nitya karma, right? And when you got very old, you can't do anything, right? You can't do sandhya vandanam, right? Or any other yoga pranayamam or yoga processes, right? But whatever possible you have done up to this far, right? So wherever Krishna has put you, you stay there and do what is possible within your capacity, right? Yeah. There are so many things to talk about. We look at our own life in this world and you'll observe this, how far people are different from the way Krishna has spoken about it, right? So, Chinmayananda Swamiji, right, for example, he had diabetes at the end, right? So the doctor told him that you should walk every day and you should exercise. He told him like that. You should walk every day and you should exercise, right? And so he said, I do a lot of meditation. So I can exercise and walk in meditation, he said. He is not able to agree with the doctor. Doctor is saying like this, you should walk every day, you should exercise every day. Sometimes you see some people like that, right? The one person, right? He was 65, 70 year old. And he's jogging every day. Few miles, he's jogging every day. I know this person, right? He was jogging every day. So, and he has been jogging like this for years and years. He's running through that village, up and down, up and down, up and down, all the time. He's running. So, because I'm seeing him every day, one day I got to talk to him. You know, you get to see someone and then you start speaking, isn't it? So he comes to the village running. So I asked him that, why? What gives you this strength to keep running like this? He said, I've got diabetes, he said. So, but I see you have been running for a long time now, for so many years. When I moved into the village, he was running and he was still running after 25 years. Still running there. So then he said to me that the doctors told me to run. I said, you are still running, diabetes has gone. No, he said, diabetes is still there. Nothing has gone. I'm still running. So this is how we are. What are we thinking about this body? These people are thinking that if I follow what the doctor has said, This body may become perfect one day. It will never die and it will always be in a fine condition. That is the false hope, what we have built upon that, right? So, Chinmayananda told him, I will do in my meditation this walking and jogging and all that what you have told me. He didn't have any faith in that because he has seen sadhus and yogis, not only the doctor, right? So, so it is like that, right? For example, you take Bhishma in Mahabharata. He has fought big, big battles, right? And in Mahabharata, he is a hero. For first 9 days, he fought the war. Yeah. So, so Karna came and challenged him one day and told him that I can do better than you. You have done these things wrong, that and that, this and that, so many things. There was an argument in front of Duryodhana. All these things were happening, right? So, but in 2-3 days' time, Karna was gone from this world. Karna was gone after talking all these things, right? Bhishma managed to stay on till 9th, 10th day before he fell, right? So, such a powerful warrior he was, right? But even though he fell, he couldn't fight anymore. He didn't die, right? So, that's what Krishna is talking about. Bhishma fought and he fell, but he didn't take that too much into his heart. Karna died. Nadvashtya kushalam karma, right? So, in life, everything will not work out in the perfection way, what we would like to be, right? And life may not be like that. It may end up in another way, right? So, that should not, we should not hate that, right? Suppose I want to die straight away, quickly. It may not happen. There is another law behind it, right? Sometimes it can happen that way also, right? All these things are not in our hands. I may get sick, I may be bedridden for a long time before death, or you may escape from his momentarily, quickly, right? So, if you fall and if you become depressed because of that, it shouldn't happen. All these things are not in our hands, in other words. Whether one should get sick, one should die, when one should die, how he should die, where he should die, all these things are not in our control. That is the point Krishna is making through that verse. Nadveshta kushalam karma. Kushale nanushajjade. Bhishma says this in the Bhagavatam Sudhi, he will say this. All these things, who can go and ask about it to Krishna? Why have you arranged it like this, in this way? Chigirshidam. And there is no rule on these things that you can make a rule out of it, that this is how it will happen. Especially on this, is it not? In spite of your best organizing, planning, everything, how much control have we got on our death? Absolutely nothing. Nobody knows when we will die, where we will die, how we will die, all these things. And what all going to happen before death, we don't know. Whether we could, sometimes some people who never had any medical insurance, any facilities, they quit the body world in very peacefully in a second without any struggle. Some others who had all the money, all the facilities and all the help and support available, years and years they were stuck in the bed, bedridden before death. So from that itself you can see that that is not in our control. Krishna is saying, realize that first. That's what he is saying. Nadveshta kushalam karma kushale nanushajjade. Krishna's point is that kushale nanushajjade, don't take that into your hands. It is not you who make that decision. Prakriti makes the decision. Kushale nanushajjade, right? So, therefore, he says that that
when Bhishma fell, right, Arjuna put him on that bed of arrows, is it not, later? And every inch of his body, he was feeling the pain, right? Because different arrows have gone into the body everywhere. And he is lying there on this bed of arrows, right? Arjuna made the bed for him with the arrows, and he is lying on that, right? Including supporting the head as well with some arrows. He gave the support, right? And he is feeling the pain. Pain is there in the body, right? And Bhagavatam is saying that, lying on that bed, he waited to give up the body for Uttarayanam to come. Uttarayanam time to come, right? But Krishna's arrangement was that he should stay for Krishna to come and to talk to him. Amazing salsangam between Krishna and Bhishma there. We got Bhishmastuti from that, Vishnu Sahasranam, so many things from that. That salsangam between Krishna and Bhishma, right? So, Nadveshti Akushalam Karma, right? Akushalam means a situation which we don't like, right? Something that we don't like. Or painful situation, which is disturbing us, right? And we normally say, oh, when we fall into that situation, we curse ourselves. I have served Krishna all my life. Why has he put me into this situation? And then sometimes people curse Krishna for that, for putting them into the situation, continuously complaining, right? When in Bhishma's case, what did Bhishma do? Bhishma stayed like a yogi, right? And Krishna says this to Yudhishthira about Bhishma, right? He says to Yudhishthira, you know who is lying there? It's a top university is lying there, he said. An university of knowledge. That's what Bhishma was, right? So before that university goes away, whatever knowledge you need, you take it from him. And it is at that time Yudhishthira asked all the questions. And Vishnu Sahasranama was given at that time. Vishnu Sahasranama was given at that time. And Kodharma Sarvadharmanam Parama Paramogadi Pavada Paramogadi Kim Jaban Muchade Jandur Janma Samsara Bandhanad. That is the Vishnu Sahasranama comes from that, right? Similarly, all the Upadeshams in the Bhagavadam is coming from that. Bhishma Upadesham was created from that situation when it happened with Bhishma, right? And it is that parvam or that canto where it comes, it's called Moksha Parvam. In Moksha Parvam comes this Bhishma Stuti, everything, right? So in that Moksha Parvam, Bhishma is talking about Vedantam to Yudhishthira in there, right? But at the same time, if you look at the person who is giving this knowledge, he is not very comfortable in his body. In his body, he is going through excruciating pain with these arrows and lying on the bed, and he was able to talk like this. So imagine his state. Body is going through such a excruciating pain on top of the arrows. After being hit by arrows all over the body, Arjuna has pounded him with arrows and all over his head, everything. And in that excruciating pain going through the body, he's talking this. Vishnu Sahasranama and similarly Upadesham, Bhishma Upadesham to Yudhishthira. And then all the other questions what Yudhishthira has asked, he has answered all of that, right? So, and nowadays salsangam is different, isn't it? You get a mic fitted in front of you to speak. You get water there. And if you have some problem, you got medicine also there. This was not the salsangam Krishna and Yudhishthira had. There was no mic to speak. There was nothing else. He is lying on this condition and he is speaking. Right? So, today's salsangam is different. Right? And that salsangam
lasted for many days between Yudhishthira and Bhishma, right? So that is an ideal situation. That's what one should be aware of that, right? And when he was comfortable, he lived comfortably in the palace. But when he fell on the arrows like this, beaten in the war, he accepted that. And that's what Krishna is saying that. Kushale nanu shajjare means that. Kushale nanu shajjare. Good or bad, not affecting him inside. So far, he is able to move away from the karma. That mindset, right? Kushale nanu shajjare. Yeah. That means you are living sometimes comfortable. Bhishma had the best palaces and facilities to live, right? And very comfortable life he had. And when he was living like that, he had no attachment to anything. And finally, when he came to this situation, helplessness like this after the battlefield, right? He had to lie on this bed of arrows. He still was comfortable with that. The situation didn't have any effect on him. And he had the Salsangam at that time, right? This you will see in many, many Mahatmas' cases. Even when their body has given so much trouble and body is going through so much misery, they still able to enjoy the Salsangam, right? Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, he had cancer at the end, right? And still people will come to see him. And there was Salsangam even at that time. With the cancer in the body, Maharshi also had, Ramana Maharshi also had, right? And somebody asked him, are you not feeling the pain of the cancer? He says, yes, pain is there. And the doctor who was treating him, he was an agnostic person. In other words, he was trying to tell him that you shouldn't do it. He is looking at him only through the body, right? And he says, don't talk like this to everybody who comes here. It's not good. And then he will come and talk to him. He will tell him not to talk to anybody. But then the doctor will come and he likes to talk to him. He likes to talk to him, right? So, and then he will sit there with him for 2-3 hours talking to him. And he will tell him not to talk to anybody else. And he himself will talk to him, right? So, even when he became physically disabled and cancer was giving him a lot of pain, because in those days there was no treatment like today for cancer. For today, cancer patients get a lot of different kinds of pain relief facilities, right? And the doctor's focus is mainly on the pain relief more than curing cancer, because they know it will come back again or something like that, right? So in his case, Salsangam continued still, in spite of the situation, right? That's what he's saying. Nadveshti akushalam karma. Nadveshti akushalam karma. So, in life, something happens like that, akushalam, which is not very pleasing or favorable, right? And when that comes, also, one should be able to maintain that consciousness, proper consciousness, right? We should be able to do that, right? It is for this reason only, to get this point across to us, that Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the battlefield. You know that, don't you? That why Vedavyasa Maharshi chose a battlefield, a place where Bhagavad Gita was to be spoken. He could have spoken very nicely in a different situation. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in the battlefield, to be spoken in the battlefield, that in the battlefield no one is in a peaceful state. Or the soldiers, or army, everyone, nobody is in a peaceful state, right? And Arjuna also was probably feeling the pain, because he was also hit by the arrows from the other side, Karna and Bhishma and others, right? like Bhishma was going through, right? So, even in that situation, the spiritual knowledge should be the guiding force. That is why Bhagavad Gita was spoken there. That Bhagavad Gita, what it says is only truth, not what happens in the battlefield. Buddha used to give an example of an elephant. Right? Buddha was Siddhartha, wasn't it? He was a prince in the royal family, and in the palace they had an elephant, right? And those days wars were fought with elephants, horses, and all that. Buddha says this elephant, when it goes to battlefield, whole day he gets attacked by the arrows from the opposite side. But he will stay in the battlefield till evening. They stop the battle fight in the night. Not like today, these days. At least they will stop it in the evening. Only during the day they will fight. And in the end they will stop it in the evening. And then they fight battle next day again. So that's what he is saying here. Buddha says, a bhikshu, one who has taken to sannyasa ashramam, he should be like that. In life, so many different experiences, distress, problems will come, right? But one should tolerate them. This is the basic principle. Able to tolerate things, right? Not keep on looking for remedy all the time. And this one quality, all great spiritual authorities will say this, Tidiksha. These are all examples because life is not in our hands. It's not in our hands, is there? Right? If life is pleasant, fine, that's good. And we should also look at the body if you can keep it in a reasonably good shape for health reasons, right? And we should do what is necessary for that, right? But due to for some reason, destiny brings to us a difficult situation with the health, right? We should be able to sit in the satsangam happily and take to satsangam and happily take the benefit of satsangam. Even if health becomes a problem, health should not become an excuse. That's the point. Yeah? We have to understand what Krishna is saying, right? Krishna is saying to us, this body, what you have come here to this world with, is for a short period of time, and that is due to your prarabdham, you got it. But why worry about this body alone? Let that body come and go, but be fixed on the spiritual path. Spiritual life is our real life, which is our spiritual nature, because we are spirit souls. We are so falsely identifying with the body, and due to bodily problems, withdrawing from everything in spiritual life is not good. That's the point Krishna is making. Body will give you a lot of trouble, mind will give you a lot of trouble, but Krishna's point is, irrespective of that, you should stick to spiritual life. And to get this point across only, that in the most difficult situation, Bhagavad Gita was presented to the world. The idea behind, people are interested in verifying it. Did the war happen, Mahabharata war? And is everything what is spoken in the... They want historical proof. You don't study Mahabharatam in that way. There are so many things in Mahabharatam which you don't have to verify at this moment. The sages who wrote these things, their mind was focused on getting the point across to us about spiritual life, to make us understand what is spiritual life. In spite of, for any reason, due to destiny, if anything comes, niyati, again it is niyati, if it happens, one should be able to sit in the satsangam and able to take the message properly. And that is what he is saying there. Nadvaishti akushalam karma. You have to understand these words Krishna is saying there, right? He, akushalam, he is not hating that, right? Akushalam, if it is there, you should find a way to be blissful even in that state, even if it is akushalam. Problem will be there, but you have to find a way to become kushalam or blissful in that state. Kushale nanu sajjade, he's saying. Kushale nanu sajjade. Right? So, so, here, Ajari Swamiji's Bhashyam. Kushale, Shobhane, Nitye Karmani Sattva Shuddhi, Yanolpati, Tan Nishta Hedutvena Moksha Karanam. Idam, Idi Evam Na Anushajjade. Tatra Abhi Prayojanam Apashyan, Anushangam Pridim Na Karodi Idi Edat. If you are in Sattva Gunam, your karma will always be good in the sense that it will lead into Hridaya Shuddhi and to knowledge, if there is Sattvagunam. If there is Sattvagunam in a person, automatically it will lead into Chitta Shuddhi and to spiritual knowledge, right? At the same time, he won't be attached to anything. Asakti won't be there. Yeah. So, for a person in spiritual path, progressing in spiritual path, for him, even in Sattvika Karmam, he won't have attachment there. Attachment will not be there, right? And similarly, Nitya Karmam, which is helping him to develop that undercurrent inside of Krishna, Adhyatma Vidya, undercurrent inside, in that also he has no attachment anywhere, right? And that is what he is saying here, Tyagi Sattva Samavishta. You see that third line? That's what he is talking about. Tyagi Sattva Samavishtaha. Because Sattva Gunam has entered into him very powerfully. These are all the nature of a person in Sattva Gunam. When Sattva Gunam builds up in a person, his nature changes. How he deals with everything, even with his own sadhana, he deals in a particular way. He deals with the world, he deals in another way. So these things you can only understand from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying, Tyagi Sattva Samavishta. Sattva Samavishta means the sattva is increasing in him, right? And it has entered into him very strongly, Sattva Gunam, right? If Sattva Gunam is inside a person strongly, even if you are having pain in the body, if you are experiencing pain in the body, you will still be able to hold on to spiritual life. You won't fall back from that. You know, when we get very sick, right? We are not able to chant. We are finding it difficult to push on with spiritual life. That's because of the rajogunam and tamogunam in us. Lack of sattogunam in us. If the sattogunam is strong, even when you get sick, or if the body is giving a lot of trouble, this Almadhyanam, that undercurrent inside, what is going behind, that will not let you waver. You won't fall back from that. Right? And therefore, that is the point Krishna is making in these words, right? Problems will come. And difficulties will come, right? But it will not touch your spiritual experiences. Because you have got something from spiritual life, that undercurrent inside, and that has become stronger, right? And that is what is called a sattvam. You see that? Tyagi sattva samavishta, right? Sattvam means that power of sattvagunam working in you. It is affecting you, because even in the body is giving trouble, you are not getting disturbed. That is due to increased sattvagunam. Whereas suppose you are in tamogunam and rajogunam, you are waiting for an excuse to give up everything straight away. Right. So, this sattvagunam is the one which make your spiritual knowledge firm. Yeah, spiritual knowledge firm. Right. So, So So, there was one of these four disciples of Acharya, Padmabhada. Padmabhada was given the responsibility for Dwarakapetam. Padmabhada was the Acharya there, right? Padmabhada had an akushalam in life, unpleasant thing in his life, right? And he is supposed to be a disciple of Acharya Swamiji, right? And the Dhyananishtha, he has done a lot of sadhana. Narasimha Murthy has appeared for him, for Padmabhada, right? And Padmabhada had perfected that Narasimha mantra. He could invoke Narasimha any time. To that extent, he was powerful, right? So, Vidyaranya Swamiji, who is another famous Advaita Acharya, he separates this as Tattvajnanam and Jivan Mukti, the two different ways. He talks about that, right? Even if you have Tattvajnanam, in the middle of that, due to the power of Prarabdham, what comes in, right? Sometimes some akushalam can happen. Unpleasant things can happen. You have Tattvajnanam, right? But Prarabdham is also there. It is because of this that Padmabhada had problem with that famous commentary on Sureshwara, and then he went on a pilgrimage and a lot of things happened. That's all there in his biography, what's written there, right? So, between Sureshwara Acharya, Sureshwara was in charge of Sringeri, Padmabhada was in charge of Dwaraka, Hastamalaga was in charge of Jagannathpuri, and Thottakya was in charge of Badrinath, Joshimath, right? So, between Padmabhada and Sureshwara, there was a difference of opinion about something, right? Later on, Padmabhada fell. Sureshwara was a very learned scholar. Mandana Mishra, who became Sureshwara, he was a learned scholar, right? So in the argument, Padmabhada said something. Later on, he felt he shouldn't have spoken that way. And it has disturbed his mind, Padmabhada's mind, right? So he thought, as a prayaschitam, atonement for that, he'll go on a pilgrimage, right? So Acharya Swamiji told him, don't go on a pilgrimage. The best pilgrimage is that when you are staying with me or in the ashram, kshetram, guru, in his presence, that's the best pilgrimage for you, right? And if spiritual master is not there for service or for association, in such a situation you can go for pilgrimage or visiting temples and things like that. But when he is available in this world, that his presence is your tirtha. That's what you should take advantage of, right? And nothing else is required like that, right? So, when Acharya Swami said this to Padmabhada, for a few days he didn't speak. He kept on thinking about it. What Acharya Swamiji has said and what has happened between him and Sureshwara. Right? So, he thought that Prarabdham is there. That's why this has happened. Right? And I'm not feeling peaceful inside for what I have spoken to Sureshwara. He felt very guilty about that, right? And even in the association of Acharya Swamiji, he was feeling it inside, very strongly about it, right? So, this prarabdham, when it comes, right, it affects sometimes like that. Our mind won't be able to handle it under the power of prarabdham. Yeah? If it is meant to crush you in your mind, it will crush. You will not be able to handle it with any other sadhana process. Any other sadhana process, right? So, there were a lot of instances like this. Prarabdham was there for him to go from there. And in spite of his best efforts, One who has pleased Narasimha Murthy with his devotion, he is finding it difficult to control his own mind. Right? Eventually he goes, and a lot of things happened after that. So, prarabdham and sometimes mind also will give trouble, right? And he traveled from there to Kashi, to Tanjavur and Tanjore, it is called, Kumbhakonam and places like that. And then he, for some time he was feeling very disturbed, practically like being a bit crazy. He felt like that, right? So, he went to Rameshwaram from there. Because those days you could only walk all these places. So long, long time to take to walk. Miles and miles, hundreds of miles you have to walk, isn't it? And still, he had an encounter with one of his relatives who gave him poison even. But poison didn't work. He should die. Right? And little bit of disturbed mind he had. Then he came back and told Acharya Swamiji about this, what happened after his pilgrimage. Right? So, Acharya Swamiji said, on one side, you are feeling the suffering from the prarabdham. On the other side, you have such a good spiritual clarity. You see, in the same person, on the one side, you have such a spiritual clarity about everything. Good realizations and good understanding of everything. On the other side, prarabdham is giving you this trouble, what you are going through, right? So, knowledge has not been affected by this. Your knowledge has not been affected by this. So, give time, prarabdham will be gone. The knowledge will work in its own way, he said to him. So that is how it is in spiritual life. That sometimes, what we have to understand from that is, in our own spiritual sadhana, problems will keep coming. They'll come and they will go. They won't stay permanently. You should not link that with your spiritual life. The problems that's coming in life should not link with your spiritual life. The sadhana and the upasana, what you are doing, should be independent of that. Not linked to it under any circumstances. Why? Because even great personalities, they had to go through this. Because this body, when we get it, what all prarabdham this body has to go through is not known. You just have to wait and see, watch it, what is going to come every day. In whatever form it comes. That's the only way you can analyze it. That is why they say, spiritual life and your spiritual practices, you should not link that with your prarabdham, what you are going through in your life, daily life. They are two independent paths. And that is what Krishna is also saying to Arjuna in the battlefield. You fight the battle, that's your prarabdham, it is. You have a prarabdham to fight there, you do that. But don't link that with Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is independent spiritual knowledge, it is. Self-realization cannot be linked with this material body and its experiences. This is a high underlying principle in that. Spiritual life and success in spiritual life, sadhana, upasana, realization, everything, you cannot link all that with your temporary material body and what you are experiencing in material life. This is coming from prarabdham. The other one is your effort in the sense that is Krishna's mercy, what you are getting in the form of spiritual success, whatever form it is. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Not tomorrow, sorry, Saturday. Saturday, Bhagavad.